Because of the following special program, the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour will not be presented this evening.
You are hearing voices from NPR, the best of public radio.
Hi, this is Iggy Pop, and you're listening to WPTN.
Suppose we just don't talk about it anymore.
What does he mean, dude? Dude Ranch?
In the next hour, the voices are all from 1 year. A shortcut back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
The greatest honor history can bestow,
because I'm a stable hand,
is the title of peacemaker.
I'm going to step off the limb now.
This thing was so big.
It's one small step for man.
All right.
It was too big for the world.
I'm walking here!
New York State Thruway is closed, man!
It's 1969, okay? Walk across the USA. It's another year for me and you. Another year with nothing to do. It's another year for me and you. Another year with nothing to do. It's 1969.
Attention.
It's 1969.
Is the Zodiac a Satanist?
It's 1969, baby.
The demonstrations were held together from the Black Panthers.
Curfews in effect tonight for the following counties: Napa, Solano, Hunford, Alameda, Marin, and San Mateo. So please, everyone, stay safe.
It's 1969.
John?
Yoko?
John!
Yoko?
John!
Yoko!
John!
Yoko!
John!
Yoko!
John!
Yoko!
John!
Yoko!
John!
Yoko! 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 Yoko!
The last day I talked to her was a few hours before the tragedy happened. You are certainly curious about my relationship with Sharon within the last few months. I can tell you that last few months, as much as last few years I spent with her, were only time of true happiness in my life.
I just want to say something that was written by Shelley, and I think it goes with what happened to Brian. I'd really dig it if you would be with us when I'm going to say. I really don't know how to do this sort of thing, but I'm going to try. And I hope you could just cool it just before we start. And I really hope, if you do, I really appreciate it if you could just say a few words what I think I feel about Brian, and I'm sure you do, and what we feel about him just going when we didn't expect him to, okay?
Hey man, I just gotta say,
it's a free concert from now on.
And now, a shortcut through 1969.
And it's kind of a sad, little bit sad for me, 69.
Attention, attention.
This is one thing that I was going to wait a while before we talked about. Maybe we'll talk about it now so you can think about it. Because we all have to make some kind of plans for ourselves.
Come down off your throne and leave your body alone.
My fellow citizens, I have requested this opportunity to talk to the people of Massachusetts about
about the tragedy which happened last Friday evening. This morning I entered a plea of guilty to the charge of leaving the scene of an accident. But I can't find my way home. This last week has been an agonizing one for me and for the members of my family. But I can't find my way home. And the grief we feel over the loss of a wonderful friend will remain with us the rest of our lives. The people of this state are entitled to representation by men who inspire their utmost confidence. For this reason, I would understand full well why some might think it right for me to resign. So I ask you tonight, people of Massachusetts.
Tommy, can you hear me? 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 Tommy, can you hear me?
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
Attention, attention. Religious services for Yom Kippur will be held this will not be held this Friday due to mitigating circumstances. For those who wish to observe said holiday, Sunday has been reserved. That is all.
Rapper, this one's for you, babe.
1969 was the year that the dial got really turned up on the 60s.
Is it rolling, Bob?
I've spent a lot of time this year. In 1969.
I was 1 year old in 1969.
Well, I grew up in Jessup, Georgia, and I didn't know I was gay. And
being gay before Stonewall was a very difficult proposition because we felt that in order to survive, we had to look and act as rugged and manly as possible to get by in the society that was really very much against us.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe?
Friday evening, June 27, 1969, at about 11:45, 8 officers from New York City's Public Moral Squad loaded into 4 unmarked police cars and headed to the Stonewall Inn, 7th Avenue and Christopher Street. The local precinct had just received a new commanding officer, who kicked off his tenure by initiating a series of raids on gay bars.
My name is Martin Boyce, and in 1969, I was a drag queen known as Miss Martin. I remember on that night, when we saw the rioters, all of us drag queens, we linked arms, lighted our rockets, and sang the song we used to sing. We are the village girls, we wear our hair in curls, we wear our dungarees above our Nelly knees. And the police went crazy hearing that, and they just immediately rushed us. We gave one kick and fled.
New York in 1960s was just booming in terms of influences, in terms of breaking down the barriers, social, cultural, and I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed watching it and really soaking it in.
Midnight Cowboy came out and got an X rating, premiered in 69, went on to win the Best Picture Oscar. So that will probably stand as the first and only X-rated film ever to win the Best Picture Oscar. But the fact that it was considered an X-rated film, you know, something that a certain segment of society should not see because it's dangerous for you.
I was such a newcomer when I did this movie. I was in college at the time. It actually didn't occur to me that there was anything at all dangerous, weird, maybe my career would be injured. I didn't have a career, so I really had very little to worry about.
And it was a movie about, you know, a male prostitute and had gay undertones, which was revolutionary in and of itself. Movies like that, they gained wider acceptance. I Am Curious Yellow, play like Oh Calcutta. People went to see it because of the taboos it was breaking.
The film was finished, and I think UA must have shown a print to the MPAA, and they came back and they said, well, unless they'll make cuts, it's going to have to be an X.
Our local movie theater, the Globe Movie Theater, they decided to go porno. They showed their first X-rated feature, which was I Am Curious Yellow. My father organized a neighborhood campaign to shut the theater down. Okay, he got priests, rabbis, local residents to stand out there with protest signs, bang pots, and whatever, cause a ruckus, try to get them to close down, which they did not do.
It was the duty of public morals to enforce all laws concerning vice and gambling, including prostitution, narcotics, and laws and regulations concerning homosexuality. The part of the penal code which applied to drag queens was section 240.35, section 4. Being masked or in any manner disguised by unusual or unnatural attire or facial alteration.
This news clip came on saying that everybody knows that gay bars are rated, that's nothing new, but this time the gay people have fought back, that's different.
I had the feeling the whole world was watching it.
11, you got a pretty big audience. It's live in the U.S. It's going live to Japan.
Apollo 11, this is Houston, over.
Beautiful sight.
Roger, understand. Number one on the runway.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
This is Hearing Voices in the middle of a shortcut back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
Standing in this same place, a third of a century ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation ravaged by depression, gripped in fear. He could say, in surveying the nation's troubles, they concern, thank God, only material. Our crisis today is in reverse. We find ourselves rich in goods, but ragged in spirit, reaching with magnificent precision for the moon, but falling into raucous discord on Earth.
It was a battleground. No one, unless identified, was allowed on the street.
Come on, T-minus 10 minutes and counting, T-minus 10. We're aiming for our planned liftoff at 33 minutes past the hour. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
I don't know why people who've not been on rockets continue to ask, you're not scared? No, we were not scared. And until something happens, then it's time to get scared.
We just passed the 2-minute mark on the countdown, T-minus 1 minute, 54 seconds.
They had thrown me a pistol about 10 minutes before this occurred. And with all the luck that I've had all of my life, I got him before he got me.
With the
I'm
pistol.
Sorry.
And he had what?
An M16.
And you got him.
30 seconds and counting. Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds.
General, how would you assess what is the enemy doing on these major attacks?
20 seconds and counting. has 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At the moment of liftoff, there were numbers changing on the dashboard. There were sounds indicating in the voice loop that we'd had liftoff. But what did we feel?
Hardly a day has passed in this war without the death or wounding of innocent civilians.
I don't know why people who've not been on rockets continue to ask. You're not scared?
See me.
What did we feel? But what did we feel? But what did we feel?
1968 in this country was a disastrous year. We had several assassinations, not too good. So we needed something really to cap it up that was positive, to give the American people a sense of accomplishment, or at least satisfaction of something.
We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Now it is time to take longer strides.
July 16th, 1969. 8 years, 1 month, and 22 days after President Kennedy's challenge, NASA was ready to turn the dream into reality.
There is only one thing, Ralph, that's missing from my Disneyland. Only one thing, the world of tomorrow. I have nothing from the world of tomorrow.
You want the world of tomorrow, Alice? Want the world of tomorrow? I'll give you the world of tomorrow. I'm going to the moon!
The dream of man. The long, impossible dream to reach out to the moon is coming true. These men will lead the way.
This is CBS News color coverage of Man on the Moon. The epic journey of Apollo 11, sponsored by Kellogg's. Kellogg's puts more in your morning. Here from CBS News Apollo headquarters at Kennedy Space Center, correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good morning. It's T-minus 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 53 seconds, and counting, in just an hour and a half. If all goes well, Apollo 11 astronauts Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins are to lift off from pad 39A out there on the voyage man always has dreamed about. Next stop for them, the moon.
Doors locked.
Flames high,
7, 6, 5, we have ignition. 3, 2, 1, we have liftoff.
This is Mission Control. It stands as the first rank of the unnumbered and innumerable Apollo team. Flight controllers man the consoles. They watch a continuing readout of every system in the capsule, three shifts around the clock. All flight controllers speak to the astronauts through one voice, the capsule communicator of each shift. He is an astronaut himself, best suited to sense the needs, the stresses, the preoccupations, the environment of the men so far away.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition,
1.
And may God's love lift be off with you.
I'm going to step off the landing. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare.
A shortcut back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp, continues in a minute on Hearing Voices.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
You are hearing voices, and we continue with a shortcut back to 1969, The Year in an Hour, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
Okay, Houston, the moon is essentially gray, no color, and it's certainly with that up here to be a very inviting place to live or work. Roger. We're going to see if we can find the stars here before we do the
season. That was the period, the late 60s, when we were fighting in Vietnam and when a lot of racial issues were going around.
I was not really in tune
with what was going on in the country.
Our whole culture was changing markedly in this period.
FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover today asserted that of the black extremist group, the Black Panthers represent the greatest internal threat to the nation. In his report for fiscal year 1969, Hoover said the Panthers have perpetrated numerous assaults on police and have engaged in violent confrontations throughout the country.
Don't call me nigga, don't call me whitey, nigga, don't call me nigga, whitey, don't call me whitey, nigga.
Why were we the enemy? Why was the Black Panther part of the enemy? Still is mind-boggling to me. I'm trying to figure out what kind of brain thinks that those people, these people, my people, were the enemy. I still have a difficult time putting it all together.
This is a war against the police. They are being murdered by military terrorists. We want to deal with this national threat. The person, the group, the urban guerrilla, the organizations which are mounting this nationwide wide war on law officers must be discovered and punished.
The racist pig cops must stop their wanton murder and brutality or suffer the wrath of the armed black people in their black communities defending themselves.
Because of the violent actions of the leadership of the New Left, FBI officials concluded that some additional effort must be made to neutralize and disrupt this revolutionary movement.
Look up in the sky!
You are hearing Voices with A Shortcut Back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
We're here right now to show standing support for our leader and minister of defense, Huey P. Newton. We're on the 10th floor of this building right here. He's being persecuted for allegedly shooting a police officer.
The demonstrations were held together with the Black Panthers and Young Lords.
To the recorded beat of funereal drums, several thousand demonstrators are marching along Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House, capping a day of activity designed to dramatize opposition to the war in Vietnam.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Tonight I want to talk to you on a subject of deep concern to all Americans and to many people in all parts of the world, the war in Vietnam. I believe that one of the reasons for the deep division about Vietnam is that many Americans have lost confidence in what their government has told them about our policy.
Many of the marchers are carrying lighted candles in honor of Vietnam War dead. Many are flashing the V for Peace sign with their fingers. Mrs. Coretta King, the widow of the slain civil rights leader, is marching at the head of the procession. President Nixon is in the White House tonight, but there's no way of knowing whether or not he has watched any of this demonstration. The White House paid no public attention to today's moratorium events as though to underline the president's position that he will not allow his Vietnam policy to be altered by demonstrations in the streets.
The American people cannot and should not be asked to support a policy which involves the overriding issues of war and peace unless they know the truth about that policy.
Another lie and lie the love. Hanging on, we push and shove.
possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what.
What would you say to people like Richard Nixon?
I'd say do something positive about it, and it really is economical to have peace, Mr. Nixon, and you'd be really popular if you did.
What should he do?
You should just declare peace.
Peace. Peace in your mind, peace on earth, peace at work, peace at home, peace in the world.
Peace.
Try and get people orientated to think peace, like eat for peace, breathe for peace, and dance for peace, make love for peace, you know, to just have the peace like a mantra going round and round in your head.
What advice would you give to the youth of the world today, John?
I'd say that you're going to be the next establishment, and you've got to be able to run it, and you've got to be able to run it not like they ran it, and don't smash it down, and the ones that aren't interested in revolution and changing it, they better get interested, because it's their responsibility. All wars are manifestations of man's evil or violence. And we're saying to the youth, you got to do something about it, but it's no use trying to fight them with knives and bottles, because you won't get anywhere. And you are the establishment, or you will be any day now. So you just got to be able to run it, and run it different from them.
This is Hearing Voices in the middle of a shortcut back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
The Woodstock Music and Art Fair, the three-day Aquarian Exposition at White Lake in Bethel, New York, will give you uncomplicated, unhurried, calm days of peace and music. Friday, August 15th, you'll hear stars such as Joan Baez, Arlo Guthrie, Tim Harden, Richie Havens, Ravi Shankar, and many others.
Mike, what's the worst part of running one of these things?
The worst part?
What's the worst part about running one?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Do you dig it all?
The biggest hassle is dealing with politics, you know?
There are a lot of politics involved, you mean with the cities. And you got that soul.
Well, it looks that way.
Looks that way. How long did it take you to put it together? 2-3 months?
I've been working on it for about 9 months.
9 months? Full time?
Yeah.
Are you in charge of the whole thing?
Yeah.
But you got backers.
Partners and backers.
Yeah. Where are you going to go from here? I mean, you going to do another one?
If it works.
There's something very otherworldly about Michael and his ability to assemble this. Bill Graham was able to pull things off that no one else could, but he couldn't pull off a Woodstock.
I came upon a child of God. He was walking along. Free.
My name is Sidney Westerville. I'm the owner of this antique tavern, Munger Valley, New York State. I was here when this crowd really came. We expected 50,000 a day, and there must have been a million. I myself was hungry for 2 days because I couldn't get any food, and I couldn't go out to buy any food. I was eating cornflakes for 2 days. And the kids were wonderful. I have no kick. It was sir this and sir that, and thank you this and thank you that. Nobody can complain about the kids. This thing was too big. It was too big for the world. Nobody has ever seen a thing like this. And when they see this picture in the news, over the moving pictures, they'll really see something.
Be at the Woodstock Music and Arts Fair, August 15th, 16th, and 17th in Bethel, New York.
We went up there real early because we were with the press corps. My name at Woodstock on my press pass was Topaz Caucasian. It was a name that had been used in the columns of Rat.
You people have placed tents in the viewing area. Please do take them down so that those behind can view as well.
Marijuana!
Marijuana. Exhibit A.
For me, flying into Woodstock in way the symbol of the beating heart of that year, in a way, was the Woodstock Festival. And flying in over Woodstock on Friday afternoon in a helicopter and seeing this gigantic city and then people just sprouting up in the middle of the Catskill countryside.
Coming in from London from over the pole, flying in a big airliner, chicken flying everywhere around the plane. Could we ever feel much finer? Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of geese. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man.
Yeah, it's far out, man.
I just started at Green, you know, and the art director, Charlie Oranger, was going, and he said, with his girlfriend, he said, do you want to go? And I said, rock and roll and camping have nothing in common, a position I've never seen recently change.
The warning that I've received, you may take it with however many grains of salt you wish, that the brown acid that is circulating around us is not specifically too good.
I remember leaving. I remember as we left, there were a million cars on the road going. The whole highway going towards Woodstock was like a parking lot.
Won't you try? Won't you try? Come on and try.
More than 200,000 followers of pop music have jammed the Catskills, Mount Hamlet, and Bethel for a rock music festival. Cars are being abandoned on highways leading to the resort area. Festival producers have called for all vehicles heading to that festival to turn back home.
And then Saturday afternoon, when we finally left, you just felt the whole thing shift and get kind of weird and slightly uglier and not quite as bucolic and ethereal and spiritual as it was on Friday night. And in a way, I think that was the sort of time of this when the ideals of the 60s started to fray at the edges, and so my memory in a way of 69 is a feeling of terminal illness setting in. It wasn't that everything was all terrible, but it just kind of was going off the bloom.
Almost cut my hair. It happened just the other day. Getting kind of long. said it was in my way. But I didn't, and I wonder why. I feel like letting my freak flag fly. Yes, I feel like I owe it.
Boys, don't look like you're from this part of the country. You're lucky I'm here to see that you don't get into anything.
You must be some important dude, man, like, you know, that treatment.
A dude? What does he mean, dude? Dude Ranch? Dude.
No.
Dude means, nice guy. Dude means a regular sort of person.
Must be because I had the flu for Christmas. And I'm not feeling up to par. It increases my paranoia. Like looking at my mirror and seeing a police car. But I'm not giving in an inch to fear. Yes, I promise myself.
What do you think of adults and everybody else who blame you for all the problems teenagers are undergoing right now?
Well, I blame them for sort of, you know,
they're the parents, man. They're
initially responsible for everything.
My parents were responsible for me.
The main thing we saw all day was bad trips and freakouts. It was really heavy. I don't know if they had this much at Woodstock. A couple of medics and one doctor that was at Woodstock said that they didn't see this many bad trips. I don't know. It seemed like there was bad vibrations from the start. I sat down near the end of the evening to talk with Rock Scully, the manager of the Dead, and he had really the same impression. There was really something going on right from the start.
This is Hearing Voices, and you're listening to A Shortcut Back to 1969, produced by Peter Beauchamp.
We have a weird homicide.
In a scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird religious rite, five persons, including actress Sharon Tate, were found dead at the home of Miss Tate and her husband, screen director Roman Polanski.
A search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer. The elements involved today included psychiatrists, astrologists, and police guards for school buses.
Now I'm calling upon the Dade County Grand Jury, the State Attorney's Office, to immediately take criminal action against those that were responsible for the horrible condition and situation that occurred at the Dade County Auditorium this past weekend.
Yeah.
what for? Why are we fighting? Why are we fighting? We don't want to fight. Come on. Do we want... Who wants to fight? Who is it? Look, Cat, that guy there, if he doesn't stop it, man... Listen, either those cats call it, man, or we don't play.
I guess I can sort of admit it now. I've admitted it a little bit to a few friends. I've always had a guilt complex, to some degree. That was my war. Good or bad, whether it was a good war or a bad war, we're not discussing it, but that was my war to fight for my country. And my buddies were getting shot at and shot down, in some cases captured. And I was getting my picture on the front page of the paper. And I've always felt that they fought my war for me. They look at it totally different. They said, you were doing something that this country needed more than anything else at the time. You were part of a program, the only thing we had to hold our head high and be proud of.
Shortcuts was produced by Peter Beauchamp.
Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
So many things all in one year. Woodstock, Altamont, the moon landing. If you're a sports fan, you had two seminal moments with the Mets' Miracle World Series victory and Joe Namath's famous guaranteed Super Bowl upset of the Colts.
Here's Unitas, and it is intercepted. Andy Beverly downs it. That's the fourth interception by the Texans in the game.
So tonight, to you, the great, silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support.
A federal grand jury in Detroit today charged the 13 top leaders of the Weathermen with plotting to bomb public buildings in Chicago, Detroit, New York, and Berkeley, California. The Weathermen are the militant faction of the Students for a Democratic Society. Only one of the 13 is now in custody.
The Yankees are retiring by number 7 with numbers 3, 4, and 5. Cops off everything that I could ever wish for.
Brings back memories of that whole time and that era. I guess it's ages ago, but I don't know, sometimes it doesn't seem that long ago.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
A Shortcut Back to 1969 was produced by Peter Beauchamp of MixedUp.com and WBAI New York City. This is HearingVoices.com.
Let's hope that 1969 will allow us to make a film that has nothing but beautiful things in it. Right.
And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Magic isn't simple, though.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of SoundImagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is HearingVoices.com.